Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it. Hour 2 of Old School. 2 more hours to go on the program today. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. Got a couple people on our YouTube stream, including Eastrick. What's up, Eastrick? Appreciate you chiming in and listening. And Jim Philippi, really appreciate you being in on Old School as well. 402-464-5685. If you would like to be a part of the show, we'd love to have the input from you. Until such a time, though, Jay Foreman, lots on your mind for Nebraska, Cincinnati, I'm sure. I know you were playing on a whiteboard Wednesday. We're trying to get that cooked up right now with some technological difficulties. But in the meantime, kind of walk us through what you're looking at schematically for Nebraska, Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think, well, number one, I think we're going to expand it because I think I'm going to do some video where I have a lapel mic and kind of do it, and then we'll I'll obviously post it, and then the ticket will be to repost it, and then we'll do regular whiteboard Wednesday, which will be more talking so people can, you know, if you're driving, you won't be able to hear it on the stream. So really, you know, from a defensive perspective, I think really the focus for fans out there with the point of, or one of the main points of whiteboard Wednesday is to kind of get you an inside look and allow you to watch the game from a different perspective. From my point, or just from a former player standpoint. So obviously, you know, the offense has their work cut out from them or for them with Corleone. But more importantly, this game, I think, in my opinion, is going to come down to the defense and how well they play as a unit and, you know, decipher some of the things that they're going to try to do to confuse and have a defense that's very, very young and doesn't have the continuity yet because they haven't played a lot together, especially in the first and second level, have them play on their heels. Now, how do you do that? It's a copycat league. Now, Cincinnati will do it differently. And so one of the whiteboard plays that we had is essentially if you, as a fan, can go back to remember when Nebraska played USC and they had a new quarterback, right? And, you know, it was all a big deal. You're going to start them after a bye week, so forth and so on. What do? You get them a couple easy throws. And you do that by having some either shifts or motion to see what the defense is in, zone or man. Defense doesn't run with the motion or shift generally. They're in zone. They run with the motion or shift. A player does. That means you either bump over or you know, exchange responsibilities with the player that's in motion or through the shifts, and it's a change of formation. You know they're in man. Why do you want to have, you know, whether the opposing defense, in this case Nebraska's in man or zone, to make the reads easier and to be on time and on target, well, I'd like to say offensively. And that's what you want when you have a really good quarterback in Brendan Sorsby. So the play that we had was Cincinnati against Colorado. They had a pretty good scat back last year. They essentially ran a bunt formation. So mesh is essentially three receivers, whether it's by offsetting the backfield, off the line of scrimmage as a tight end, in close proximity, where you're kind of running mesh routes, where you're trying to create a mesh where the defense is either running into each other or running around each other and loses sight of whoever they're guarding in man-to-man defense. And so what Cincinnati did, they had an offset running back. They were in the pistol, and they had a bunt formation with a slot receiver and obviously an outside receiver. And they ran two kind of one quick under and one of a medium under route. And they were reading the middle linebacker, Austin. And I've been in that position where if you don't have good eyes, per se, and guard your guy, they just ran essentially a wheel route for about 60 yards and set up their first touchdown offensively, which answered Colorado's first touchdown that they had after a long run. I think we have it here. So we got it popping. Austin did magic. So as I was saying here, I know that we got people say, oh, well, they can't see it. So you're hearing it. So it's a bunt formation.
It's a great idea for you guys to get to the stream, if at all possible, right? That's the entire point.
We'll do some videos, and it'll be easier to do some videos after the game, right? And so right here, as you see it, this is the offset back right here, which is the most important. 11, who I'll get into in the next segment of it, who is they're probably okay. This guy is their number one player. This is their number two, and I'll get better at with my penmanship. And so this is a bunt formation, and this is where you can create mesh. And then as a fan, when you're looking at a one receiver to the tight end or to the non-tight end side, and he has what's called a negative split, which is he's close to the tackle here, right? You got to expect mesh. He can't run. He can run a flat or run an out or like a out route, but he can't really do anything else besides, you know, go across field. He's in a negative split. You can kind of know what routes he's running. So mesh will be essentially an under route here, and under route there, right? But here's who they're reading, Austin. I've been in this position. This is man-to-man defense, right? Because this guy's going to go in motion. They're reading this middle linebacker right here.
Oh, they're reading Jay Foreman.
Because what motion does is they're trying to get everybody to move one way, and then they go the opposite, generally. And the reason why you want to do that, because it can confuse your eyes. That's what you say. You got to have good eyes, right? It's no different than man-to-man defense in basketball. They start running some pin downs and switches and go screens. If you got whoever, you better stay on him, or you better communicate. Communication, alignment, assignment, aggressive. Here comes the next one, right? How do I get the next one over here? Whoops.
Click the little arrow on the bottom.
Hold on. Oh. There we go. All right. We're getting back here. All right. So the next one right here, that's the beginning formation. We'll go here. That's the third one here. It's my fault. I didn't give it good to Austin as far as the text message goes. So this is the motion right here, right? And you see this guy move, right? Everybody's moving. They were reading this middle linebacker. They know it's man. Now the onus goes on him, right? Okay.
Is that a like the strong safety dropping down? Is that strong a linebacker dropping off the line?
It could be a strong safety hybrid. I think he was a linebacker in Colorado system. They essentially ran a little bit of a 4-2-5, because this is a linebacker here. I know that for a fact, right? They're playing a little bit of a bubble. So what's happening here is, for you fans here, they have these two guys right here. You have a linebacker here. So they put him here because he's very limited in coverage, right? And this guy is a strong safety. Those guys have in and out on this guy here.
They're so triangulating him, essentially.
Essentially, if he goes to the right, he has him. But it's already eliminated, Austin.
By the motion.
No, it's already eliminated by the alignment. This is his guy. So essentially, Colorado played into Cincinnati's hands by schematics. Now, you have to be a smart enough linebacker that he can essentially orbit into a screen over that way, and he's your guy. But now we go to the next one, right? Look at the line. Look at the run. The linebacker. You don't see him. Right.
Not in the wash.
Look where he's at. Right here. I didn't do a good job. I should have expanded it. That's where he's at. There's his guy. Sorsby right here. Quick read. Quick.
There's the guy coming pretty hot off the edge.
Look at the two meshes right here. Right? I told you two quick unders, a medium under. This guy drops in the hole, right? He shouldn't be in the hole. He should be here, right? That's his guy on the move. This is not a swing route. Okay? This is essentially a running back go. This is exactly where it's at because they know by that motion, they didn't run any type of in and out or three on two. We used to call it box or triangle where you play three on two or four on three. Mm-hmm. First outside, second in outside, first and second vertical. They didn't do any of that. They said, we locking up man to man. You eat what you kill. Okay, well, they just got killed right here. And next thing you know, he's going down the sideline. There's your boy right here that everybody doesn't like right there. Was that Shiloh?
Good beam.
Right? Now, this is not a position that you want to be in, right? Against a little water bug and...
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just... fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
There you go, Travis Henry. Look at that stride right there. That's worthy of number 3, right? There you go. That's it. Game, set, match. That's what you got to expect against a overmatched offensive line physically. In an overpowering defensive line, to counteract Nebraska's obviously, you know, speed and you know the difference in athletic ability and power is to confuse them, especially because they're a young, inexperienced defense playing together in a big moment. Mm-hmm. It's an easy throw, it's an easy read. Because you know what happens if they're in zone? They start to do sit down routes. So then therefore you better learn how to match up man to man in zone. Match the routes. Mm-hmm. That's how you get in trouble, and that's how you're able to counteract some of the things that Nebraska has an advantage in. And you could really look at that Colorado game and look at it. It's probably the same type of atmosphere. That was the biggest game in Colorado football history because they had so much on the line. They were able to win it, but you were on the road for Cincinnati. They're going to essentially be on the road in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Against a Nebraska team that really needs this win. So how do you take the air out of the stadium? Some quick, easy passes, get them confused, get kind of a backdoor lucky big play. Now they're on their heels. Now they're playing that formation and waiting for it. And then you can run all types of actions off of it. We talked about
Cliff King. Like
what? You can run essentially the same route. And then instead of running the medium over route and mesh, you can go medium and go. We call sluggo. You can go slant and go off of that. You can run.
When is the guy turning up field then?
Well, he'll just read the leverage of the coverage.
Gotcha.
So if you're sitting on him for that inside route, he'll take it up to shoot in man-to-man defense. You can run essentially RP, fake RPO, get into like I call it, you know, we'll call it switch routes. You could have the slot guy. Run kind of a runoff route, and then you like a kind of an 8 to 10 yard comeback. and then you can create a one-on-one with that inside guy, because it's a clear out route to get the outside guy matched up against Jay Foreman or the strong safety. There's a ton of things that can go off of that based off the success of that first play. But more importantly, that's what you have to expect for Cincinnati to try to do. Try to get Nebraska confused early by communication. Communication is by formation shifts. Get them on their heels. Boom. Hit you with an easy play. Get you on your heels. And then now they're really cooking with peanut oil. And then they're trying to get a quick 7 points. And then now they feel they have their first crack at momentum. Now you counteract that by over-communicating and keeping it very simple. And so if you want to ask what I would possibly do with a very, very young defense, to get it, listen, we're I'm gonna get you on the move. I'm straight up. This is what we're doing. We're gonna reset the line of scrimmage, because now we're doing a contract. You have to guarantee me you're gonna play like your hair's on fire. So I might slant you early, and sure they might get something, but you're gonna slant and you're gonna go get the ball, because I don't want you thinking. I don't want you guys thinking. You got essentially, I won't call Marshall a new starter because he's played something. Essentially, you got, you know, six new starters in the first and second level.
I mean, even if you do consider him a new starter, you have Marshall, new.
McCullough.
Watson Trent, new. McCullough, new. You're looking at Javon Wright,
okay,
essentially. New system.
Okay.
Just for all of them. Okay.
Yeah, just but starting out for Javon. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else up front.
Defensive Jude, line.
Yeah.
That's six, seven, eight guys.
Yeah. So now I'm just taking all the guesswork out of it. Now, we'll still, I might lock you up man-to-man, but we're still going to make sure we covered on the back end, right? And that's what you have to do. And then you just go over this, hey, listen, and it's got to be simple. And I've been in this position before. Look, just play your principles and worry about adjusting after the first and second series, because there, even though some guy, because you're in a controlled, the playing in practice right now is like going through med school, and it's a sterile environment. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, everything's controlled, supervised,
and you can't create game like situation like the crowd. You can't get 90,000 right. people to go right. Mm-hmm. So the game is going to be like, okay, you went from med school to running a hospital, and you're in Detroit, where you're getting all different types of walks of life, all different types of different things coming in. And then you got to figure it out on the spot. So you might be dealing with one type of issue over there, whereas now it's like a more, you know, like a controlled environment at the practice facility. So really what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to get these guys going, you know, both sideways and vertically, so they can make some plays, get some confidence, get some continuity, let the back end guys that are veteran, that's your three main stalwarts that have been here and played a lot of ball together. That's Buford, Hartsog, and Singleton. Allow them to kind of dictate the communication. Right, that allow all the other guys at the second and the first level to go play football, and then that's obviously how you're able to hold your head above water and play steady in the beginning of the game.
7855 on our text line says he's looking forward to John Butler's more aggressive approach, putting guys in motion, most likely like you're talking about. But then he wonders why last year were Nebraska's defensive backs typically, you know, 7 to 10 yards off the ball. You know, why was that Nebraska's scheme to start that far off the ball, and then what might change with John Butler in that respect this year?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if that was taught. I just think sometimes that he had some, you know, probably like Jeremiah Charles a little bit off and struggled against Illinois. I mean, you're playing against two guys that are playing on Sundays. You know, Franklin just made the team. I just saw that in Denver. You know, I think Tony White at times did some movement stuff. And they were successful with it. I remember against Rutgers, you know, they did kind of an ET stunt wrapped around. I think Judy made the play. Van Poppel did it. So I think the movement has been there. I think the more aggressive mentality of, you know, maybe a little bit you saw in the bowl game, some more blitzes, mm-hmm. right? And then obviously I think a little bit more, I wouldn't say complex, but more just kind of forward thinking of route combination recognition, route combination adjustments, kind of like the ability to adjust on the run. You know, I think at times the defense and Tony White and you know, kind of took, you know, a couple shots that, you know, probably, you know, he didn't like and probably felt like, you know, he was, you know, at times, you know, when you're trying to keep the game within a certain margin based on how the game's going, you call the game significantly different. So I just think it really comes down to this, however, 11 to 16, 17 guys that be all invested in there. And they got, you call cover one all game, you got to make it work.
Go find a way.
Mm-hmm. Then get home. You better pass rush, because you ain't going to be a good DB if you ain't getting no pass rush.
That part. Let me take a stab at some football theory here. Depending on whether, if Nebraska was playing a bunch of man last year, I don't like their guys playing that far off. If they're playing zone, would the argument for that be, hey, you've got the deep zone, we don't want anyone over top, we'll give you a head start, more time to diagnose what guys are doing, and because you have a linebacker probably dropping off to that flat like you talk about, just get the DB out of the way, save him a few steps. Yeah. The downside to press is if Nebraska's guys aren't physical enough, they lose the hand fighting, their first two steps aren't good enough, then you're beat early. Yeah. And that's never a good sign for
about that. Yeah, I think really what people don't understand, and this is what, you know, I'm trying to do with it, whether Whiteboard Wednesday or anything else, is like, what makes a good pass defense is the guys that you're not talking about. And I know for a fact 99% or 99.9% of the fans don't understand that and probably don't want to hear it, but it's 100% factual. Because if you're, you know, if you guys can imagine, I know some, we always have one call, texter is like, oh, I can't see, I'm driving. Okay, well, just listen.
Mind's eye, it's a thing.
Don't close your eyes, but just imagine if Jay Foreman is an outside linebacker and they come out in 11 personnel and I'm to the open side, which is the slot side, that means away from the tight end. That means there's Ja'Cory Barney and Dane Key to my side. Ja'Cory Barney's the closest receiver to me. He's the slot receiver, right? And we're playing, say we're playing cover four, right? That's quarters. So it's quarter, 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 right? We could play cover six, quarter, quarter, half, right? Let's just do that, right? So really you got to be, you be able to read routes and you got to be aggressive top down, especially in that quarter side. So I know that I have the flat, right? Because I'm the flat defender. Well, if I just let Ja'Cory Barney free release before and after 5 yards, he essentially eats up the coverage and he's going to win against the safety, right? But if I reroute or make Ja'Cory Barney like stymieing his route,
take an extra step or two, right,
and or make him bow his route, meaning if I drop through my zone through him at 5 yards and make him, if I push him out closer to number one, well, how much easier does the safety and the cornerbacks read on those one and two receivers become? How much easier?
Way much.
I don't get any of the credit. Say it confuses the quarterback, right? He might have thought that he was going to get a seam route and say the outside receiver was running a 8 yard stick route or whatever, right? Or comeback. Well, guess who gets to jump that comeback? The corner, right? Guess, and just think if the quarterback thought it was man to man or whatever, and he was running a stutter and go, and I did a really good job on Ja'Cory Barney. Well, the safety gets to play over top and gets a free interception. Now, the safety is getting interviewed after the game, and everybody's saying, man, this is a great pass defense, and it's so great this year. What's the difference? Our DBs and our corners and safeties have really matured. They've gotten so much better. They're backpedaling, right? Well, really, it's the onus and the intention in the way that everybody underneath coverage, including the pass rush, has really bought into the defensive scheme in the system. Because what makes that go, that what I just said, is the four, or let's say it's nickel defense, the four defensive linemen rushing, right, with getting off the ball, but then obviously very disciplined in their rush lanes. Mm-hmm. So you're able to dictate where the quarterback can look. So the best defense play team defense. I mean, mm-hmm. That's it. And so,
like you said, the little things that you really have to be looking for, if you know what you're looking for, that you won't pick up just on TV.
Right. Just like we talked about the Iowa, you know, everybody's mad at the, you know, Look, it was just that was pursuit drill.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and so it's just
still brutal that happened.
What?
The Iowa.
They probably got that dude drafted about 10 slots higher. Gosh, yeah.
At least. Good player, but not like that, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
Let's go ahead and go to break. We'll call up Evan Blandy of the Omaha World Herald. Keep the Nebraska-Cincinnati conversation going.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to it. It is old school, halfway through the show. 3 to 6 weekdays here on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. We are headed to our Allo Fiber VIP line, where we are joined by Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. Evan, a happy, beautiful Wednesday weather-wise to you. Hopefully this holds up for Nebraska and Cincinnati tomorrow. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. It's football weather. It's almost football season. It just feels right.
What is football weather to you? Is this quintessential football weather? Do you like a little bite in the air? Do you like the warmer? Where are you at with what you consider football weather?
I think football weather is when there's just a touch of chill in the air during the day and you got to throw on a hoodie at night. Like that's like fall weather. That's so I think of leaves changing a little bit, like this 90 degree stuff. Not so much. Like that's training camp weather, I suppose. And some years the weather like cooperates with the schedule. Some years it doesn't. It just kind of feels right. Like you kind of have that right now. It's a little bit of a chill, and you might want to go light jacket for the evening. That sounds like good football weather to me.
I think that's ideal, but do you still consider snow football weather?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you get into November and you've got the steel gray skies and it's frigid and it, you know, kicking a football is like kicking a brick, that kind of thing. Yeah, sure. I think you get late into the year and that feels like Big Ten football weather, maybe more specifically than anything, when running the ball and toughness and depth and all that kind of comes into play. But let's enjoy that first half first, where it just kind of feels like the start of the season coincides with the school year and all the excitement that goes with that. I think people are definitely feeling that right now.
Should be a beautiful night for football at Arrowhead Stadium tomorrow. Great venue for a game. Of course, Nebraska has a little bit of history down at Arrowhead, but plenty of history in the city of Kansas City. Lots of ties on the current roster and in Husker history. Evan wrote a really good piece about that for Omaha.com. Evan, as you look at this current Nebraska team in 2025, what were some of those kind of neat connections that stood out to you between this Huskers program, really not just the team, but front office coaches as well, and the city of Kansas City?
Yeah, there's a ton, and that's what made it so interesting. And I mean, the Dylan Raiola, Patrick Mahomes comparisons, an obvious place to start, and just the similarities between those two players and their relationship that continues to grow, and they share a trainer and all these other things. But you've got Terry Braden, who spent the last 8 years as an assistant on the defensive line with the Chiefs. He's Nebraska's defensive line coach now. And Matt Rhule said they're kind of having a Chiefs reunion almost on Thursday, just with guys coming out to support Braden. You've got Deson McCullough, whose dad was a KC assistant a few years ago. You've got Isaiah Mosey, who grew up in that area. His dad, Jamar, is on Nebraska's staff, and he was a longtime Kansas City coach. You've got, of course, Dawson Merritt, who's a freshman linebacker on the 2-deep. His dad's the current DB's coach there. John Butler, Nebraska's defensive coordinator, was with the Bills many times during those AFC playoff games at Arrowhead, and the Chiefs generally got the best of those particular matchups. Even Matt Rhule, like, considers Andy Reid sort of a mentor to him as a coach. Part of the reason that Nebraska grew natural grass fields was because they saw that Kansas City could do it and could do it at a high level. So, I mean, you can just kind of go on and on. Like, Keelan Smith, the receiver, his dad was a Husker and a Chief. And it's just there's a whole lot going on there. And it's kind of funny for a game that sort of has been kicked down the road for a long time. Like, this thing was scheduled by Sean Eichhorst more than a decade ago, got pushed back from COVID. was supposed to then move to, we'll go from Cincinnati to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, and then that thing gets changed. So, like, all these circumstances that even line up for it to be at Arrowhead, and then you add all these connections in there, just makes for a very interesting, unique kind of opener that Nebraska hasn't had in a while. It's neutral site name, but really outside of that, it very much feels like a Nebraska Chiefs sort of commemorative game a little bit.
You also have, of course, the I-29 expressway between Omaha and Kansas City for the Royals and the Storm Chasers, which not as many Husker ties on the baseball front there. But, Evan, I think those connections between Nebraska and Cincinnati and this game in Cincinnati are in Kansas City are fascinating as well, because the team that Nebraska would have played had the original schedule held would have been the Cincinnati College Football Playoff team, correct?
Mm. Yeah, in 2020. Yep, that's right. So that would have been interesting. And then I think the return game to Lincoln was supposed to be this year, if I remember right. And so then that thing got kicked down the road to 2032. So that it's technically a Cincinnati home game right now. They're getting, I think, 75% of the gate, which should be considerable when you're talking about north of 70,000 fans, most of which are Nebraska coming there. And then, of course, you've got the great point of intrigue: is Travis Kelce going to be there with his new fiance, and what's that going to look like? So in addition to the game and the connections, there's sort of a storyline that maybe your real surface level college football fans or people that aren't even football fans but that are Taylor Swift fans can check on that thing about too.
Husker fans and I assume some Chiefs fans in the crossover there are certainly hoping Cincinnati has run out of good news with the Swift Kelce or Kelce Swift engagement, however it is that you want to frame that. On the field, Evan, for Nebraska, we had 10 black shirts awarded. We're still waiting on the announcement of the 11th. It sounded from John Butler, Matt Rhule, that it was going to go to that final starter, obviously the defensive tackle position. How do you handicap that race as we inch closer to 24 hours from kickoff?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Rhule kind of laid it out on Tuesday. It'll probably be Jalen George, the FCS transfer, or Keona Davis, who was one of Nebraska's more promising freshmen from a year ago. So, I mean, personally, I have to say I respect the way that they're doing the black shirt thing. They're not going 13, 14, 15 guys the way that Nebraska of past years have done. I mean, it's truly like it holds to what their tradition was. If you're a starter, you go out and practice in a black jersey. And so they're working through who that is still, and good on them for, you know, being transparent about that and not, you know, as Matt Rhule said, kind of making it a participation trophy sort of thing where you just start handing these things out. But I think it speaks well to the depth that defensive line could have. It may not have some of the obvious dudes at the top, at least not to start the season, that they had a year ago. But Jalen George was a productive player at his previous stop. And Keona Davis, I mean, a year ago at this time, he was getting Ndamukong Suh name drops from his position coach when he started talking about his potential. He was someone who Nebraska had to get back out of the portal. In Davis, he kind of looked around a little last year. So those are both guys I think Nebraska feels like are going to play a lot of snaps and can really gum up those running lanes and maybe get after the running back a little bit too. So I think that position group to me is one of the more intriguing groups going into this game, just to see what that rotation looks like, how deep it goes, how effective they can be against a pretty decent Cincinnati offense. And so I imagine we'll see both George and Keona Davis playing at different meaningful points in the game. It's just going to be a matter of who starts.
On the flip side, across from them, then, I almost feel the opposite way about the unsettled nature of the tackle positions for the Nebraska football offense. We heard Dana Holgorsen talk about this, Matt Rhule as well, where they're looking for that consistency, that dependability out of those spots. And they have guys that they like, they know the names, but I think there are a lot of Husker fans, Evan, worried that maybe it's a concern that no one has locked down either tackle spot for Nebraska with no starters named for sure on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation that they haven't figured that out yet. Maybe that'll end up being more of a rotation thing. I would say that it's not like these guys are all total unknown commodities. Like, we know what a season looks like with Gunnar Gatula at left tackle. And we just saw it over the course of 9.5 games last year when he was out there. And he did a pretty good job. A guy who started last camp as the number three tackle behind, incidentally, the guys now who are back and competing as well with him, and Teddy Prochazka and Turner Corcoran. So I don't think you feel like it's going to be a disaster by any stretch of the imagination. All these guys have started either at Nebraska or elsewhere. In the case of Elijah Pritchett, Tyler Kanak was someone that Matt Rhule said at media days a month ago he'd probably be the first guy out there at right tackle. So they're working through it. I think just given what we know about the guys, that's kind of why I tend to lean toward maybe they actually do have some depth there, as opposed to nobody stepping up and it's going to be a point of weakness. Now, ideally, yeah, of course, you want to have especially your left tackle locked down, the guy who's going to be protecting Dylan Raiola and his blind side for this season. But I think it's almost kind of like what we heard from Holgorsen, where you're kind of at the point now where you need to see it in a game. They've seen how all these tackles are looking in practice against Nebraska's guys. Now you got to see it in a live setting against someone whose moves you don't really know at this point. So it's clear that the standard for that group's pretty high. They're not going to tolerate a lot of mental mistakes. And if things continue to crop up, like you would imagine that Nebraska coaches would be pretty quick to bring in another option, just because they do have that luxury this year in ways that they often haven't.
We're talking with Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. He joins us on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Evan, we also got a chance to hear from Heinrich Harbert, kind of in a side session on Tuesday. What do you take away from H2, as he is occasionally known as here in Nebraska, and his transition to tight end, playing that position full time this year?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I had a chance to chat with him, one-on-one for a little bit. What's interesting to me about him in particular is he sort of embodies what Dana Holgorsen said about we can continue to practice, but really we need a game to see what we have and where we are. And like, that's Harbert, like a guy who is still less than 12 months into his transition from quarterback to tight end. I mean, he did play the new position in the bowl game, but he did it with like 2 or 3 weeks worth of bowl practices. Now he's had an off season to reshape his body, to learn what it means to be a tight end. And he said one of the biggest adjustments is how do you fight through fatigue as a tight end versus fighting through fatigue as a quarterback? It's a totally different challenge, more physical challenge than what he had done before. So now he's got the training, he's learned the techniques. Now, what does that look like in a live setting? Does that stuff show up? Does he revert back because it's a game setting? And then how is he used? I mean, he's one of the fastest players on the team still. So you would think the way that they use him in certain packages might look a little different than how they would use Luke Lindenmeyer or maybe even Carter Nelson. So how he adjusts to that game setting, how he incorporates what he's learned into the offseason, into Thursday, and then how Nebraska uses and leverages that speed, to me, are two of the more interesting things that you can talk about, you can rep, and now it's just time to see how it plays out.
Evan, what are the two or three things you're most interested in seeing how they do, in fact, play out tomorrow about 8 o'clock for Nebraska and Cincinnati?
Well, I think Dylan Rail is an obvious place to start, and just see how he's evolved as a leader, as a quarterback from last year. I still think he's a guy who can complete 70% of his passes, just because Nebraska is not asking him to drop back and sort of play backyard football. Like, they want him to get the ball out quick. They believe they have skill players around him to do it. Get that ball into the hands of your running backs on swing plays, or get it to your tight ends if your top receiver options aren't available. Clearly they've upgraded the receiver spots. So just kind of seeing how that all looks for Raiola when he picks his opportunities to run on a third and short, how quick is he to pull the ball down and just get those few yards. I just think seeing how that looks, that chemistry between him and Dana Holgorsen, especially how does that look in an opener against a pretty good Cincinnati defense with some legitimate future professional players on it. So I'd start with that. And then I think even though you're not going to sort of get a final grade from special teams in the first game, I think you want to see signs of where that thing could go. You want to see, Archie Wilson, you know, have a couple punts that pin Cincinnati deep. You want to see Ja'Cory Barney and that punt return game do something, you know, be aggressive and try to return run, maybe return one, maybe flip the field, whatever it might be. So I think that's something else you're looking for. Clearly the culture on special teams has changed under Mike Eckler. Now, what does that look like in the opener when maybe that phase of the game could make a difference in what should be a close one?
Nebraska and Cincinnati, I believe it's a 6 or 7 point spread in favor of the Huskers right now. Last thing for you then, Evan, any chance that either you or Wilson Moore could turn into the tailgate correspondent down there in the legendary Kansas City tailgate scene?
Well, we're driving out there together with the rest of our crew. So I haven't been in the Arrowhead parking lot since I think 2006 for the Big 12 championship game. So I know it's one of the bigger parking lots in the Midwest for sure. And it's going to be fun, man. I think you're going to have tailgating opportunities all over the place. Chiefs fans, Nebraska fans, just general football fans who are out there. This is a unique opportunity, I think, to pregame for Nebraska fans. You don't really, this isn't something you could do at a bowl game. It's not something you could do on the road at home. It's not really set up that way. It's kind of segmented in terms of where people pregame. So it's going to make for a really festive atmosphere, very much looking forward to it. I think it's going to be one of the more intense crowds, and it may or may not have something to do with, you know, people having 4.5 hours to get ready for that game in the parking lot.
That's Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald with us here on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Evan, safe travels to you and the World Herald crew down to Kansas City and back tomorrow. As always, appreciate your time. Enjoy the atmosphere.
Appreciate you, Austin. See ya.
Big thanks to Evan Bland. Check out his work online at omaha.com. Also on Twitter at Evan Bland OWH. We'll go to break, bring Jay Foreman back in, wrap up hour two of Old School right after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back, final segment of hour two of Old School. Don't forget, another hour to go, though, here on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Big thanks to Heartland of Nebraska Windows for their sponsorship of our 4:30 segments, and Love Volleyball Nebraska for their sponsorship here of our 4:45 segments. Really quick, Jay, here in just a couple minutes, pretty notable news out of Kansas City. Rashee Rice ends up with a 6-game suspension. Everything got agreed to today. He will miss the first 6 games of the year, which for the Chiefs are no cakewalks. He'll visit the Chargers in Brazil, host the Eagles, go to the Giants, host the Ravens, go to Jacksonville, and host the Lions, all without their presumptive wide receiver one.
Well, I guess it was tough that you're going to, you know, he's always the way back, but he's not back. It's tough because, you know, the Chiefs are looking to get some get back. And so, you know, he's a big part of that. I think the when he emerged, and I always say that you backdoored their way into a Super Bowl, you were like, okay, here we go with the Golden State Warriors going to go with a quick little mini run off the cuff, right? Now he's had some off the field issues, got injured. Now he's got to wait 6 weeks. Now on the flip side, it provides clarity. It can allow Andy Reid and company to game plan, go and pick up some guys, kind of offensive game plan, you know, for these next 6 games. And I wonder if he's still able to be around the team, or is he go away? I think they changed it where they weren't jettisoned. They just could only be there for a short amount of time, so they didn't lose that connectivity to the team. And I'm sure he has obligations to do like some meetings or whatever.
Service meetings. Yeah.
So I think it's a win-win. It can finally be over. And you know, because remember when it first came out, they were like, oh, he could play the first six games and he might get suspended.
The Sharon Moore.
Yeah. Just get it done and get it over with. And it gives them some other time, you know, more time to, you know, keep doing the right thing and you know, keep getting healthy. And then when he can hit the, when he comes back and hit the ground running.
So if you're the Chiefs in this circumstance, are you trying to slot Xavier Worthy into that role? Are you trying to slot someone further down the roster into Rashee Rice's role and have them do things that you'll ask Rashee Rice to do? Or you get Xavier Worthy comfortable in what he'll be asked to do when Rashee Rice returns, instead of, you know, trying to flip-flop him into that role just to flip-flop back when Rashee Rice returns?
Well, I don't think either one of them really can play his role because of he's so much bigger than them, and they're able to run offenses different. Now, what I think they can do, let's assume, and we hate to assume that, right? Let's assume Travis Kelce is motivated and obviously healthy, right? Mm-hmm. This is where I think you see him emerge. Then also, I think you can use more of Noah Gray. See that. Now, and that's the difference. And then it would allow Worthy, whether it's Hollywood Brown or Thornton, and do not trip. Do not put it past the Chiefs to make one of their sneaky post-training camp veteran pickups, and it ends up paying dividend and mm-hmm. or paying dividends. Now, the great thing about it with Rice being suspended, the closest thing that you've had in your building to Rice, and when you had him when his mind was right and he wasn't TikToking and Instagramming in the locker room, is Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, if you get him in encapsulated, obviously he's a little bit older, mm-hmm. probably can't play the same, you know, right. to the same magnitude. He knows your system, but he can make some catches and be very, very productive. It opens it up for Worthy. It opens it up for Brown. It opens it up for Pacheco out of the backfield. It opens it up for Kelce and Noah Gray. The offense is the offense. And then when Rice comes back, you just make a little bit of adjustments, and then you get a little bit more out of Juju Smith-Schuster because you get more efficiency. He's a little bit older. And then you can change up. You can go one, you know, you can go Rice with the two small guys. You can go, you know, Rice and Smith-Schuster and Worthy or Brown. You can split out Kelce, let him do his thing. You can put Noah Gray down as like the kind of the down inline tight end. It opens up the playbook as soon as he comes back off his suspension.
Six games for Rashee Rice. He'll be back for Week 7 and beyond. This segment of Old School sponsored by League 1 Volleyball. Love Volleyball Omaha just rebranded as Love Volleyball Nebraska. To renew your season tickets or secure them for the first time, visit LOVB.com to make sure you get your seats to watch Olympians, national team players, and former Huskers all take the court for Love Volleyball Nebraska. Don't go anywhere. We got Hour 3 of Old School straight ahead.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.